Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. We have a fun show lined up. News reviews are going to happen later on in the show, but we're kicking things off a little differently. We have a special guest co-host hanging out with me right now. Carnage, how are you doing?
Hey, how's it going? Stranger of the show, right? It's been a while since I've been on, but thanks again for the invite.
Yeah, you usually hang out and chat, so now I have to put up with you directly.
Now you got to put up with my live puns on the show.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
God help us all.
But how's it going, everyone?
To help combat that, we have an actual guest joining us, community manager for ID at Xbox, Timber Webb. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for inviting me on the show. This is my first time, so I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to have you on the show. It's funny. We had Chris Charla on our show for episode 360. For Xbox 360.
Oh yeah,
nice.
And now episode 720 is you.
Like,
what are the odds? 360 to 720, Xbox. Wow. And Xbox. So what brings you to our show? What made you want to decide, hey, why not?
Well, I love anything that basically our community is doing. Anyone who's, you know, highlighting awesome indies. I mean, you're always popping up in our Twitch chat. And I was like, you know what? This seems like it'll be a ton of fun. Get out there and get more involved in things like this. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, let's start at the beginning. Where and when did you first get into gaming?
Oh, goodness. I mean, that's a long question because I feel like I was born into gaming. you know, it's been a long road. But professionally, it's been about, goodness, oh boy, it's been like 7 years now since I've been like professionally getting paid for gaming, and then even longer after that if you count, you know, volunteer work and meetup work and things like that. So a long time.
what was your first console as a kid?
My very first one, we had a Super Nintendo, so my mom played games and my father played games, so nice. I was just always, yeah, I remember
cool
getting,
parents.
I had the coolest parents. I remember getting yelled at, like, for walking in front of the screen when my mom was playing Super Mario, so, like, yeah, so that's kind of where I started, and I was like, oh man, this looks fun, and got into that, and I had friends who had older brothers who got me into things like Final Fantasy. And nice. Older games, and I was just enamored with it that I could, you know, it. I was a very imaginative kid, so I was able to take my imagination and apply it to games, and then it was just like totally cool and awesome. So.
Yeah,
you grew up with the Super Nintendo. Carnage, what did you grow up with?
I my parents were sort of cool, not as cool as Timber's, but they had the Atari they kind of handed down to me. But the first, when I was like 5 or 6, I got the NES as my first birthday gift. So, or, you know, not first birthday gift. That would be deprived, right? If I didn't get any gifts from my parents.
Well, he's 6. I guess he's old enough to start getting presents now.
Right? Yeah. But the first real present that mattered, right? That basically got me into video games ever since. So, yeah.
Aww. Yeah, I'm kind of the same. My dad had ColecoVision. Yeah. I played that with him. And then 85 or 86, whenever it was, my mom bought an NES and Star Voyager, which is probably the worst game you could ever give to a 5-year-old. It's like a flight sim, like a hardcore space flight sim. And it was just confusing to me. I was expecting like Donkey Kong.
That's awesome. Yeah, see, that's what we need then, Timber. Maybe make it happen with the devs. Get a new version of that for an ID Xbox.
Send him an email.
No, just kidding.
Get Star Voyager.
Guys,
on ID.
That'd be so cool. Can I ask you guys a question? It just, sure. This conversation popped in my head. Did you guys ever, like with Star Voyager, you said it's like a flight sim. Did you guys ever play pretend while playing video games? Like when I had Oregon Trail, and my dad used to play flight sim, so I would play on his computer. Oh. And we would pull the couch forward and like push the computers back and our chairs back. And that became the back of the wagon, or one of my friends would like be the stewardess on the airplane that I was crashing into New York on flight sim. had this like weird hybrid of video games and still being at that age where we played pretend. Did you guys ever?
No, I never had that hybrid. Like the closest I got was, funny enough, kind of podcast like, we would record ourselves playing games while doing commentary to what was happening. So we were kind of like doing our own little mini podcasts before anyone knew what the hell a podcast was.
I love that. You were destined to be doing this. That's so
cool. I have a face for radio, so we're perfect for it.
I kind of delved into some of the like imaginative stuff with video games. And like you were saying, Timber, like outside of the actual video game, with like back in grade school, you know, doing like paper and pen games, making our own paper, you know, paper games and stuff like that. Did a little bit of that stuff. That was fun.
Awesome. Good old days of pretend.
Yep. Nowadays it's like, oh nope, just technology, no pretending, no
now you have AR sometimes. Filters and
hey, I still play D&D. There's plenty of pretend.
D&D, speaking of, remember that ice pit, guys?
Dark Alliance.
Me, Joe, Timber, and I think Dopey also from the on the ID at Xbox screen. That was a lot of fun, and we kept dying in the ice pit, but it was good times.
It was the worst boss of the game, is that stupid ice pit.
The moment that I watched you guys playing that game, I saw the ice, and I was like, this is going to be a disaster.
And it was.
This is like, everyone's going to die repeatedly. I don't know why they put that ice in the first level of the game.
I think we made it through when Joe joined us. We were like, we got through.
Finally pushed through. That was awesome. My favorite part of that is like, I did it first, and then Dopey was like, oh, what does this floor do? Oh, God. It's like on repeat.
And they have the little sword with the fire. They're kind of like, if you go near this, it gives you the boon that you could walk through the ice. But the game doesn't like tell you that. It just puts a little icon in the corner and expects you to know what that means. No one knew to go up to the sword to get the immunity for the 5-10 seconds, whatever it was, and just kept dying over and over. And it was beautiful. I love when that kind of fun stuff happens. Like what kind of fun weird stuff happens on ID streams like that?
Oh, goodness. So many moments. Recently, we were playing A Gummy's Life. We were playing with Dopey. We had K4 and we had Jessica because she hosts our multiplayer streams. And that's really where you see a lot of it, is in multiplayer games. and it's about like gummies, and we had to, it's like a brawler with gummies, kind of like a Gang Beasts for a visual. And we grabbed her on both sides, and we were on a level that had a rotating saw going around it. On both sides, held onto the walls, and just split her in half over and over.
And that was great.
Like, it was so goofy. It was just like, just silly nonsense.
I missed that.
I'm gonna put it in the stream chat for anyone listening live, but maybe Joe will throw it in the links on the video later on when it goes up.
It was so cool. And I just love games that allow you to experiment like that and do silly nonsense like that. That was very recent.
So working with the ID program, you see a lot of indies come through. What exactly is the goal and the purpose of the ID program?
So the ID program is for folks who are looking to self-publish through Xbox. And when they go through the ID program, we offer a ton of like really awesome perks that you may not necessarily get with things like the Creators Program, for example. Things like achievement support, online support, social support. So that's like a big part of what I do is I fulfill the promise of, you know, if you go through the ID at Xbox program, I'm going to make sure people see your game. We're going to hype it up. We're going to help you. You know, we help folks get into the Game Pass program, which is really exciting because I just feel like there's been such a wealth of amazing indies coming to Game Pass and a lot of games coming day one to Game Pass, which is
Are you the one that we have to blame for all those games coming day one to Game Pass?
So many. So awesome.
Because, like, I only have so many hours in the day and...
I have to
so many games.
The majority of the blame to the Game Pass team, to you know, folks like Bianca on there, who really push those. I'm there to hype it up on social media. Yeah, I'm kind of that peg.
Yeah.
That,
you know, tweet it out all the time of like,
yeah, new, I'll let you know.
Yeah, what's coming up soon? Right. Yeah, there's so much stuff. It's amazing. It just gets better and better.
Yeah. So that's just some of what the ID at Xbox program offers to developers. And what I really like about it is, you know, we accept developers from all over the globe and all sorts of sizes, team-wise. And that's really, really cool to see. I get to be the hype man for indies, and that's what I do. That's super cool.
So let's hear some hype. What are some standout indies that you've seen come through over the years?
Over the years, God, I've been here for years. And now I still feel like I just started. I'm pretty new on the team, but I off the top of my head, some recent ones. I mean, I love Skatebird. Skatebird was awesome. Recently came out. One of my favorite horror games that came through ID at Xbox was Cold Silence. K4 must be so sick of hearing me talk about Cold Silence because I literally bring it up anytime that I can.
It's a fun one, though.
Yeah.
Definitely challenging, weird.
Yeah. Everything that I like, you know, I love the really bizarre ones. You know, the Artful Escape just came out, which was brilliant and bizarre. Love that one. One of my favorites that came through was also Calico. Which was made locally here in Seattle, about running a cat cafe. So like that one was, really brilliant as well. How much time do we have? Because like,
we have as much time as you want.
All the games. No.
So it's just, I don't know. I love indies. Yeah. Shout out. This one is not in ID, but shout out to Kinseed, which is an early access. And that's being developed by some of the folks who came off of the Fable team. And it has cool Fable. Yeah, it's like, and I bring this up because I'm pretty sure this game got me hired because I basically pitched it to Chris and David during one of my interviews. So, and that is, I just love it. It's a game that is an open world. You play one of two twins, and it's like a farming fable life sim that has aging in it, so you actually play generationally, and there's really, and it's bizarre, there's like a giant bunny that'll cut your lifespan and give you perks for that life, and then, you know, you die early and then you play as the kids, and then you start a new rotation, and a new, it's just like just brilliant, and they've just been so good at updating it. And they have mini games for like cooking and alchemy. You can open a store. It's just, you know, when it's done, it's going to be so expansive. So shout out to Kinseed, one of my favorite indies, even though it's not to ID yet. We'll see.
I know one that's ID that you love. I remember Ooplets. That's still game preview, but isn't that one of your faves?
That's one of my favorite. I can't believe I didn't mention Ooplets.
Thank God I'm here, and I didn't do a pun yet.
You had to qualify that with yet.
She's got Ooplets of puns. I mean, just tons. Yeah.
Ooplets. Right, how do I hang up on him again?
Ooplets and Ooplets of puns and puns. You get them from my sisters. You get them from my bros. Oh, wait, that's the cape. Oh, wait, are we going to get DMCA'd now? Hopefully not.
Yeah, Ooplets is great. And that's also in the same vein of like Life Sim, but add adorable creatures that you grow and do dance battles with, which I love. I love the nonviolent games too. I love that, like, you know, it's, you don't fight with like cute little mushroom guys. You have a dance battle, and it's so cute.
Yeah, and it's still a challenge. It's still like different activities and mini games and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, I have such a soft spot for like card games. So like the dance. Neat about Ooblets is like each Ooblet comes with its own specialized cards. So you basically build a dancing deck out of those, and that's how you battle. It's so cool.
See, we brought up Ooblets. Now we know how long the show is going to go.
Yeah. Just buckle in, everyone. This is now an Ooblets show.
No, my show is currently being taken over by my cat Coltrane, who is on my lap. She decided that now is time for her attention. So, do you have any pets?
I do. Oh boy. I have a dog. I have three cats. I have a dog, and I have two and a half aquariums.
Two and a half three. Aquariums?
Yeah, well, one's a snail aquarium, so like I hesitate to be like it's a full aquarium. I have basically a jar with a filter and a ton of snails in it. but the other ones, I have like actual fish in it and shrimp. So,
Are you a fan of snails, or are they for feeding purposes, or
both? So I love snails. There's something so cute about snails. I don't know. They're one of like my favorite little cuties that exist on this planet. And they're also for feeding. In October, I'll be getting my first pea puffers. And pea puffers love snails, and it's really good for their enrichment because they have beaks that you need to keep shaved down. And snails are a great way to enrich their lives and also keep pea puffers' beaks from getting too long. So I got
that also, right?
Yeah, I got the ferrets. Everyone's actually out in the living room right now. I sequestered myself into the office. It's chaos at any given time.
Nice. Dark Meek is not a fan of snails or slugs. She says they're slimy.
That's fair. I mean, that's fair.
I mean, you could fight her if you want.
I guess you can get a pet snail. It's different than the one that's in the wild. No, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, technically, I guess that's what I have. They just live. I have a bunch of different types of snails, but mystery snails are very, that's like the type. It took me way too long to figure out that that's the type of snails, not like, oh, I guess I just didn't know what kind of snail it is, so it's a mystery snail. That's a type, and they're awesome, and they get big. They get very big.
At first, I thought it was their name, like, hey, hi, Mystery, come over here.
Like that SpongeBob episode, this is Mystery, my snail.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, it's a lot of zoo over here.
So what are some of the animal names? Any fun stories behind your animal names?
Well, you guys will probably like my ferret's name is named Indy. For two reasons. Indiana Jones, because he's kind of a acrobat and gets into everything, but also I spell it like indies,
of course.
I love indies. And then I have goose is also kind of an indie name. My kittens are Goblin and Goose, and Goose is a weirdo who steals things, so I was like, all right, I guess your name is Goose, Untitled Goose Cat.
So. Nice. That should be the next game from them. I'd be like, get them to do that. Yeah, that was a great game, too. Untitled Goose Game.
Yeah, another
hilariously fun. I remember you guys were streaming that one also one time when it came out, I think.
We've streamed that a few times. Yeah, that's a ID to Xbox team favorite.
That's a fun one to go back to.
And I know you were talking about the cat games earlier with Calico, and then we had Cat Lateral Damage.
Cat Lateral Damage
is a lot of fun.
Yeah, Cat Lateral Damage and Goose Game. I like to qualify those as dickhead simulators.
They are
because that's all you're doing in the game. You're just being like a complete dick to everything.
You're just a jerk, a big old jerk. I love it.
Yeah, I love those physics based ones as well. Like you said, Cat Lateral is kind of more physics based. But
I'm so glad that one finally came to Xbox. We covered that one a few years ago when it first came out on PlayStation.
And I didn't know.
Yeah, and then it hit PlayStation VR, and we covered it again. And I kept asking the guy, like, is it going to come to Xbox? And I'm pretty sure I gave him the contact info for ID at Xbox, and lo and behold, it finally came. So Collateral Damage finally on Xbox.
Nice. Because thank
I'm thrilled about that one.
Podcast. Just yeah. Because of Joe. No, I'm just kidding.
I still think Lightwood Games, like the Palgi games, I still think I'm part of the reason they're on Xbox, because I wouldn't stop bothering them.
Yeah, you guys covered a lot of their stuff on PlayStation
for
years, like until they added it finally. It's cool they're bringing them to Xbox. I just actually put up a video myself for one of their recent ones, Alpha Set. By Palgi,
I love the Palgi games. I'm so glad they're on Xbox. Like, are there any series that you're thrilled are finally on Xbox?
Yeah. I think the Palgi is a really, really good example of just a great series, which I wasn't actually that familiar with until I started this job. We have so many coming through Xbox. I announced a lot of them, and I was like, oh, what are these? And I was like, oh my god, these are so cool. What?
Yeah, they're a nice change of pace, like relaxing kind of games in between other games, you know?
Just and they're cheap. Fill out games. They're cheap, and they usually have awful puns in them.
And yeah, I mean, that's
as well.
Yeah, the achievements are really, really good. I'm trying to think, what series am I excited about? They came to Xbox. Goodness. Because there's so many. Why are there so many games?
I know Timber so well. She's probably thinking of so many games that she loves. But I remember one series that you love, the Baldur's Gate games, right?
Yeah. Yes, I'm actually playing through the Baldur's Gates now. Another one. Goodness, was it announced? I might have. This is the problem with answering this question.
Just kidding.
I mean, if you want to accidentally reveal something.
Oh, God, it's my biggest fear. I'll never sleep again if I accidentally reveal something. I have way too much anxiety.
Don't do it.
Please don't make me.
No, you don't have to say if you're unsure.
Okay, no, it is. I Googled it, and it's on the wiki. Fatal Frame. I know it's not indie, and I want to answer with an indie game, but Fatal Frame is one of my favorite series of all time.
And was that like Black Maiden or what's the name of that one?
Maiden of Blackwater.
Maiden of Blackwater.
Yeah, so super, super pumped to see that, because it's kind of, you know, I miss it. It's one of those games that I miss because it came out so long ago, and it's so hard to get a copy of the first two. And on top of that, I don't have a PlayStation 2 anymore, and that's like the only place you can play it currently, so like to see it come to basically everything is so exciting.
Yeah, I know that game I think was originally like a Wii exclusive or a Wii U exclusive, like some kind of Nintendo exclusive, and when they announced it was coming back, I thought it was just going to be Nintendo exclusive again. So when they announced it was coming to everything, I was thrilled. I love seeing these games that were at one time single platform going to multi-platform. I love that everybody gets to enjoy games anymore. That's my favorite thing.
It's brilliant. Yep. Absolutely brilliant. Everyone talks about exclusivity, and I hate it. I hate it when it's exclusively on this. And like, I get it, I guess, from a business standpoint. I guess from a community standpoint, who gives a crap? I want to play games. I want people to play games. I want people to play our indie games. Just like the more the merrier when it comes.
That's play it where you want, when you want, whatever you want. You know, no one's stopping you from playing other platforms, right? It's like, that's how it should be.
Yeah, just give us the games.
Yeah.
Anything you want to see on Xbox? Like, if you had your wish, is there like any kind of indie out there that you want to see make the jump to Xbox?
This is going to be a really boring answer because it's Kinseed. Spoilers. It's absolutely Kinseed. I've been following that game for years, and I would give anything to see it on Xbox. And it's beautiful also. It's all like this just gorgeous pixel art, and so the animations are so expressive with, you know, doing very little. I don't know.
I'm literally looking it up right now.
Yeah. Please.
It looks kind of like Stardew, right? Kind of like that vibe.
Yeah, it's kind of like Stardew. I would say like it's a little more fantasyful than Stardew. A little more like the humor is really. It's very fable. Punny humor,
and it's, I'm in. There we go.
Yeah, and it's all based off of like old nursery rhymes. So like you start off, your origin story is that you're one of two twins from the old woman in the shoe, who gets taken in by like a kindly farmer. Yeah, and that's really neat. So there's a lot of rhyming, a lot of puns. It's very cheeky. Yeah.
Is it like real-time combat, like RPG style, or is it...
So they're still working on the combat. So it is still in early access, and they are working on it. I think they had their combat update, oh, goodness, almost last year, I want to say, maybe a little earlier. But it is kind of like Stardew, where you have your weapon, and, you know, you slash, and you fight that way, mm-hmm. and you have, like, different weapons and stuff. And it's like a top-down view,
That's
how I describe it. But, yeah. Yeah, so there's combat. You can fight goblins and stuff. There's doing a lot with it. And if you die, what's interesting about the combat, if you die, you go back to your house, but you lose lifespan. So your life will be a little bit shorter for that generation if you suck at fighting goblins.
What about you, Carnage? Any indies or any series that you want to see make the jump to Xbox? Anything that you've been hoping for?
What would I love to see that's not on it yet? There's so many games that are already on it. It's like hard to think of ones that I would want on it. But
because I have two in mind. The first one played on an Xbox controller years ago at a convention, and it's on everything but Xbox, and that's Just Shapes and Beats.
Okay, yeah, that's...
That needs to make the jump to Xbox. I'm dying for that one to make it, yeah.
It's like a rhythm game. Yeah, I've seen it around. I haven't played it.
Like a dodge 'em up. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Now you reminded me of the one that I want. Remember, I don't know if you guys remember Marble Blast Ultra on 360 Arcade?
Yeah.
Back in the day?
Yeah.
Yeah, the ball rolling game. Yeah, that's basically the spiritual successor is on everything except Xbox so far. So I'd love to see Marble It Up come to Xbox. I think they said that it's possibly coming or that they plan on it, but they didn't put like a release date or they didn't talk about it in a while. So hoping to hear more about that one.
Yeah.
Marble It Up. Yeah, and basically a spiritual successor to Marble Blast Ultra. Yeah.
The other one I would want to see, and I'm bringing this up just because if I could get this to anyone's ears at Xbox to bring this.
I know it. Dragon Fantasy. You won't shut up about it, Joe.
No. Chris Char already knows I want Dragon Fantasy, and Adam Rippon knows I want Dragon Fantasy.
Yeah.
I want Moss on Xbox.
Oh yeah, that was the VR game on PlayStation.
Yeah,
that
you were Moss. About really we just did an interview with Polyarc. They're based in Seattle too, so you should hunt them down and take them out to lunch and invite them to Xbox or something. But they did Moss, and they're working on Moss Book 2 for PlayStation VR. And during the interview, it actually came up if the games would work in a flat space. And I would love to see some version of the game make it to Switch, make it to Xbox, make it to other people. Just I don't know how the game would translate properly all the way because of the whole VR gimmicks that they have in there. But it's something fantastic that I would love to see on more platforms.
That's I love the mouse. He's so cute. I also would like this mouse on Xbox.
Beautiful game from what I've seen. I haven't played it.
But her name's Quill, and there was a statue of her, and I missed out on it, and I'll never get it, and I want a Quill statue so bad.
Because Joe doesn't have enough cool statues in his background there.
They gave them out at, I think they said E3 or PAX they were doing them. They would just hide them in the convention center and then tweet out where it was.
Oh, I love that.
Cool. And people would go nuts trying to find the damn thing.
We'll see. Maybe if it comes to other consoles, they'll do something similar. Don't lose out hope. I hope you get that statue one day.
I want to see so many more games get physical releases on Xbox.
I think there's been more some recently that got like retail releases of some ID at Xbox games, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe
probably it feels like a bunch of them do, run games. I would love to see them do more with Xbox.
I think Zombie Army Trilogy. That's an ID to Xbox game, right, Timber? The Zombie Army game.
Yeah, I believe so. Yes.
Yeah, the Zombie Army, and I think what was the other one? They had the newer one. I'm pretty sure they do retail for those too. But I don't know. There's obviously a lot more for, that they do more retail stuff with Limited Run for PlayStation. Like you said, it would be cool to see Xbox do more of that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I don't disagree with that. I would love to see that. Yeah. There's something special about having a physical copy. Mm-hmm. I don't have the room for physical copies, but like if you do, that's awesome. And I hope you can get those physical copies.
Yeah, I have way too many physical copies.
Joe has got his collection there, adding ever so slightly.
Yes, I'm adding ever so slightly. I was supposed to pick up Far Cry 6 today, and I forgot. I fell asleep. So I have to go get that tomorrow.
Yeah, I've been hearing good things about that.
You get the
obviously not ID, but
got the good, ultimate steelbook version with the punk rock chicken on it from GameStop. Not sure if you saw that steelbook or not, but
sounds amazing.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
It's awesome. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, what brought you to work at Microsoft and to work with the ID program?
Well, I guess the short version of it is a former coworker, Jeff, who I had met years and years and years ago when he was working on The Adventures of Pip. He was like, hey, and he had asked me like maybe 2 years before I had finally accepted. Hey, we have a spot on ID. Do you want this job? And at first I was already working in a small indie, and it was my first job in games. So I was a kitten. Sorry, I'm looking at your cat just spring up, and your cat is very cute. And at first I was like, no, my community needs me here. I can't leave just yet. And then when he brought it up a few years later again, there was again another opening. And this time I said, you know what? I think it's time that I move on. And so I said yes, and I went through the interview process and eventually landed ID at Xbox, which was great. I was ready for the shift between working on a singular game, and now I get to basically work with what feels
everything.
Like
an infinite.
And it's really awesome. It's very like exciting because there's always something so different and something so new, and that's just, it's very fresh. It's always very fresh when working with many games.
Yeah.
So I like it.
That's awesome. And I was curious, if you don't mind me asking, what was the game that you originally worked on, if you don't mind?
No, not at all. So the original game, it was a startup company. Rest in peace. Unfortunately, the studio did have to close down last year. It was a startup called Quirk. And it was a voxel mobile game, so it was a mobile indie, which was a very interesting experience, especially as my first time job, you know, in games. I was like, oh, wow. And it started off actually as VR, and then as things changed, we eventually shift focus to mobile. Learned a lot. I was with them for about, I want to say, 3.5-4 years. As their original we had like a community director, but I was their very first like social media and community manager. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now how long have you been with Microsoft?
2.5 years. What even is time?
Seriously.
I can't believe it's been that long already.
Is time is the best answer possible. Also the most accurate answer possible.
I feel both new and not, and like I've been here forever, which is a very interesting feeling. It's weird because I guess almost 2 years, because I got hired, I worked in an office for a month, and then we all got sent home, and I've never been back. So,
that's right. Because right when COVID hit.
Yeah. Crazy. So I'm technically a COVID hire. So that's how I remember when my start date was. It was really dark.
You got hired before it, so that makes it better. It's like, okay, then you'll just work from home after that.
Technically,
Huh. I know you guys recently went back to the studio as well, right? For like some of the Xbox streams?
Yeah. I go in to stream from their beautiful new studio on Wednesdays. So that's
right. That's on the official Xbox Twitch channel, right? Twitch.tv/Xbox. And then for the people that don't know, I put the link of the other one, the one where you stream every Tuesday and Friday on the ID ATXBOX, ID at Xbox. Twitch channel.
Thanks for linking it, because it's impossible to
hear. So yeah, there it is.
I like Carnage getting all the plugs in.
Yeah.
Carnage is getting all the plugs in.
And the bot is not listening to me now because I overused it. Joel said it. I'm using all the commands that Joe nicely set up for me, you know, stealing all the work, right?
Fantastic. I love it.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
So in your 2 years, I'm sure this has happened, and you can't name names, I'm sure. But have there been any devs that have just been absolute nightmares to work with?
You know, I wish I had a story for you, but I have had nothing but the most pleasant experience with our developers. I recently, well, not recently, but since taking over the ID Twitter, I open DMs, which is hysterical and also lovely.
Scary, probably a little bit.
No, you know, yeah, things don't get under my skin very often. So like those ones, like, and they're in like a messaging thing. So I check and can accept which messages I choose.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, I ignore a lot of why am I getting banned from X game, because I can't, like, it's just so many messages that I think my Discord banner right now is somebody asking me, why am I getting banned from GTA? Yeah, I didn't do anything.
You know everything about, like, everything is related to you in Xbox when you work there. It's like, no, I can't answer everything. There's a whole team at Xbox, right?
Yeah,
like,
and sometimes I'm responsible for PlayStation games. I don't know. They really want Persona 4. I don't know. I don't control that, man.
That's hilarious.
So, yes.
I would love to see Persona on Xbox. That would be amazing.
Yeah, there you go. There's the series to throw on there, right?
Hey, you never know. I mean, I saw I forget the name of the game. I'm not a huge baseball fan. MLB the show, that's an ID game that came to Xbox.
Yeah, that was shocking.
Is that considered an ID game?
That is. I promoted it on our channels. That is technically an ID game. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's very, very like, you never know, like, stuff that was, you would think only on PlayStation could essentially come at some point.
Yeah.
Well,
times are changing.
Lord knows MLB had some kind of say in that game coming to other platforms. I think that was a mandate that Sony wasn't too pleased with, but they kind of had to suck it up and deal with if they wanted to keep making the game. So what games are you playing these days? What are you enjoying?
So I guess my top, I play a lot of The Sims just in general. So The Sims, and The Sims has been with me since, it's like the ultimate game for me. I remember being a little girl, like, I wish I had a game where I could control people's lives, which is a terrifying thought for, you know, an 8-year-old to have. But, we got The Sims, and so I still play to this day Sims 4. Nice. That's kind of always, that's like my default game if I'm just bored and want something to
do. I think I saw you playing it a little bit before this, even before.
Yeah, it was. Today. I was
like, on Discord, I see it shows what game you're playing. That's awesome. There's so many expansions by now, too. They keep adding.
Got them all.
Tons of stuff.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about
gotta
how
catch
much money.
All.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Has that game where my game that I spent too much money in was Gems of War, that free to play game. And moving on.
how much do you think you spent on The Sims, and how much Carnage do you think you've spent on Gems, and which do you think is higher?
And you know what we're going to ask you then, Joe? How much have you spent on Rock Band 4?
Thousands.
We can play that game too. Yep. Gems, yeah. I've probably spent over 1,000.
Yeah, I'm probably close to that. Especially, and if you like count Sims 1, 2, 3, and 4, I probably could have gone to college instead. I didn't go to college. I played The Sims. So
you went to college in The Sims as a Sim.
Oh yeah, I sent them to university. No problem.
Exactly. That's what matters.
I can cheat away their debt, so I didn't feel too bad about it.
Right.
But yeah, it's a lot. Otherwise, yeah, I got Baldur's Gate I'm playing through. Ooblets I go to, trying to finish Lake. So,
Oh yeah.
I'm all over the place. Like, my attention span for games is like, okay, I'm going to play games for 10 minutes and then now 5 minutes of this game and now 2 hours of this one. And just, yeah.
It's perfect. That's the way I do it too. Sometimes just don't know. Yeah. Like, I have like all these games installed and I'm sure that Joe is the same way. Just, we don't know what to play. I like that little surprise me button. Have you guys ever used that?
Oh, yeah.
It just clicks a random game from your library.
I click it, and then I back out, and then I click it, and then I back out, and then I click it, and then I back out.
Oh, I can't decide.
Like, not that one. Not that one. Not that one.
And I sit there 10 minutes not playing anything.
Yeah. I feel like that's the same philosophy. Just playing
Knockout City that whole time. What am I?
Yeah. When you
or Gems of War.
So you flip a coin, but then you decide that you don't like the coin, which side the coin flip. You're like, oh, I'm just going to flip it until it's Chinese anyway.
Yeah. Right.
And then you just watch Twitch instead.
Right. They just put on YouTube.
The ID stream.
So what's coming out this fall that you're excited for?
Ooh, wonderful question. I mean, obviously we got Fatal Frame talking about that. Super excited for ID games. Let's see, what do we have going out? Again, it's like Rainbow Village came
like
out already.
You can talk about.
Moonglow Bay. I am so excited. I don't know if you've seen a thread in the game that I like to play. Love me some life sim, cozy games. Really, really excited about Moonglow. That one's just, again, like with the pixel graphics, gorgeous. It's 8-bit. I guess they're not, I don't know if it would technically, but love, really, really excited for that one.
You mentioned that Rainbow Billy game. How is that one? We are going to be reviewing that one, I think, next week on the show. Jacob will be covering that one. I haven't picked it up myself yet. I'm interested in hearing how this one is. What's that one all about?
You know, I wish I had played it, cause I haven't yet. I haven't had time to pick it up, but that one is also on my radar. But again, it's right up my alley where it is a, cozy game about the power of friendship and bringing color back to this world, which
very
is
very colorful.
And,
game.
Yeah, it's very colorful and it's about empathy and it's about understanding and connecting with people. So for me, that just like hits all of the boxes for what I'm looking for a game to like wind down with and like, you know, chill with. And plus it's gorgeous. It's like super friendly Cuphead kind of looking. And I just think that's so cool.
And you could pet the dog. I made a little short video clip of that so that you can pet the dog in that game. I didn't play it too far yet. I was too busy petting the dog.
Proud of you, Carnage.
Yeah.
Doggone it.
Doggone it.
Ah, you beat me to it.
Yeah, you yelling about us about Parker.
I'm slowing down.
Throw one in there.
While Timber's on, she gets the spotlight.
And throw Carnage a bone there. So.
Bam, got him.
I'm on the SML pun cast. Oh, that was a bad one.
Oh, that was awful. That was
not as bad as your show. No,
there's the hang up. Really going to hang up with him next.
He's going to hang up the call. He's like, kick Carnage out. What did I do today? Why did I bring
him now
off?
That he's gone, let's talk about games.
Echo. I was just reminded of Echo Generation, actually.
Oh, also, yeah.
Speaking of games coming out this October 21st. Game Pass day one.
Games. There's the Chernobylite, which just came out. I know you streamed on the ID stream. Right?
Yeah, that got me good and a few jump
scares. That was a really freaky jump scare in there for sure.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
What non-ID games are you excited for this year?
Goodness. I'm kind of stuck in what I'm excited for, which obviously, again, obviously Fatal Frame, super excited. Give me more spooky games. I'm excited. I believe the Spider-Man's coming. I would like some Spider-Man games, please. Those are notoriously awesome. And I've never tried them, so I'm really excited to play it. And even though Far Cry literally just came out today, I've never played a Far Cry. And that's something that I really want to try for the first time, because you could pet an alligator and he's really cool. I was like, done, sold. Give me that game.
Can you pet the alligator?
You can. You can. He's so cool. I know people are excited about the puppy. The puppy is very cute, too, and you should enjoy that.
Speaking of puppies, because we talk too much about cats. I mean, cats are awesome. Hey, but what? Come on,
dogs, you talk too much about cats?
Yeah.
Listen here.
So there's a ID at Xbox game coming with like all these puppers, isn't there? There's some kind of, I forget. There's one already that's
Paparazzi. Airport
for aliens. And that one, yeah, Paparazzi.
Yeah,
that looks good too.
Yeah, Paparazzi.
And then, too much cat talk. What is?
And then
what's with everyone saying there's too much cat talk?
Airport for dogs or run by aliens? That's hilarious. Or what was it? Airport for aliens run by dogs? I don't know. It's a crazy.
Currently funny. run by dogs. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And, yeah.
Really awesome. Good. But the writer who worked on that also worked on Skatebird. Zalavir. He's brilliant. Yeah.
Dialogue. Story dialogue.
Yeah, super cool. Outside of that, I'm like super excited for, there's a bunch of farming sims that I love that are coming out. I'm a huge fan of the Story of Seasons series, one of my favorite series of all time, formerly Harvest Moon. If you want to know a fun story, fun fact about that, let me know, because I got a nice little. So Harvest Moon's one of my favorite series, and at some point, so it was Natsumi and Exceed created Harvest Moon, and at some point they split. Natsumi took the rights to the name Harvest Moon and changed a lot of it. We actually just had Harvest Moon One World come out through the ID program, which is cool because that's the first Harvest Moon I think we've ever seen on Xbox, even though it's not technically the traditional Harvest Moon we grew up with, like Harvest Moon 64.
Yeah, I saw we got like some puzzle games from Harvest Moon before, and I was like, when are we getting a real Harvest Moon game?
Yeah,
and finally, we got one.
We got one World. So that is published by Natsumi. But Exceed took the rights to Harvest Moon and changed the name back to the original Japanese name, what you'd find in Japan, to Story of Seasons, which is what it had always been in Japan. And that's the more traditional Harvest Moon 64 experience that we've, you know, the stuff on like the GameCube, Wonderful Life, all of that. So they're continuing through the Story of Seasons, and there's continued to be fantastic. So I'm really excited. They're also doing Rune Factory 5, and they're also bringing Rune Factory 4 to the Switch, which is another one of my favorites from Exceed. So those two series, I'm really, really excited for later this year.
Was Rune Factory coming to Xbox?
No. Not currently. I wish.
Make some phone calls, Timber. Make it happen.
I know. I guess I'm slacking. This conversation has made me realize I'm slacking.
Oh, man.
Any excitement for Forza?
I'm excited for that.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm excited for the controller.
That's a gorgeous looking controller.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's very nice.
I like the
Halo one.
I like the 20th anniversary edition controller that was just unveiled today as well.
Oh, stunning.
Like the see-through one. I love when they do translucent electronics. It's just fun to look through and see what's in there.
Oh, there's something about it. Like, I remember having it for like the N64. They had the N64 controllers, the coveted see-through N64 controller. It was so cool. So it's awesome to see that kind of variation on Xbox. I'm definitely gonna be picking up that.
Dopey's got both of those on pre-order. Oh, gee.
Yeah, Dopey on top of it.
Yeah, shout out to Dopey, by the way. He's also, like myself, I'm one of the moderators who helps Timber and everyone else on the ID at Xbox stream. So another great community member.
Yeah, couldn't do it without you guys. You guys are the best.
Thanks. No,
no problem. You could do it without.
Yeah, you could handle without my puns.
Dopey is necessary.
I just put puns in chat. What's the use?
You put links in chat too. Right. I was on a bus when you linked that Twitch stuff, which is why I was like, could you please, like, I'm in transit.
That's funny.
Yeah, you guys rock.
Yeah. No, you rock.
Oh, man. Well, I know we've been chatting for quite a while. Is there anything you wanted to talk about that we didn't bring up, or?
God, I feel like we talked about so many awesome games.
Like every other ID at Xbox game.
I guess the one thing, just for people who are watching to kind of understand how we approach community at ID at Xbox, I think it's really important. If that is a topic to bring up.
Sure.
So I love my job, and one of the reasons why I love my job is because I get to approach community not in the traditional leadership hierarchy, but we practice servant leadership. That's my personal philosophy when approaching community. And servant leadership is basically putting the community, if you had a triangle, if you had an upright triangle, you would traditionally have your leaders on top. You would have, you know, your board of directors, CEO, whatever.
Right.
And servant leadership, and the way I see ID at Xbox community, and that goes for our content creators, that goes for our, you know, folks who love our indie games, and that goes for developers as well and publishers. I basically flip that triangle. So you guys are all on top of that triangle. I am at the very, very bottom of the triangle where I should be, especially with servant leadership, which is exactly how it sounds. We are here for your needs. We are here for the developers' needs, for the game needs. You know, my success comes from our community's success. And what I love about Xbox and what I love about ID at Xbox is I never had a word for what I was doing when I ran, you know, communities, when I started Twitch meetups, when I, you know, worked with other developers. And then I was finally given the words and the tools to express it. Oh, it's a thing. It's a whole philosophy, and it's really cool. And if you're looking into getting into community, getting into games community, and being a leader within those spaces, please look up servant leadership. It is the best way, I think, to run communities, because communities is never about you. You have to remove yourself. It's about the people who get to share, you know, your excitement. And I just love it. And I love the community that we have here at ID at Xbox.
Sure.
From, you know, literally the devs to the consumers to our mods. You guys are awesome.
Oh, thanks. Oh, don't make me blush. And also one of the other community moderators, Carpe Adam, I know, also shout out to him as well. Don't want to leave him out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And of course, you guys got a big staff there. It's not just Timber running everything and sending all your messages to her about fixing, changing things and adding things. It's a huge team, right?
Yeah. We have a fantastic team. And again, I brought up servant leadership, but I feel that philosophy in everything from the people manning our emails to ID setup to, you know, events and all of that. Our team, I love our team. ID at Xbox. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It's great. I could gush all day about it as I have for 45 minutes.
Marathon podcast. Let's go. No.
Go for hour two. Let's do it.
Yeah. Episode yet.
No. I think love the idiots that join. Shout out to the idiots that join. We love them.
I do appreciate I'm an idiot saying that K4 doesn't really like indie games.
Yeah, what's an indie game?
The truth is coming out in chat.
Oh, boy.
What's an indie game? No.
Oh, God, she's on our I gotta go.
There's mud being thrown in chat. But
we're all having a good time. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, Timber, it has been awesome having you on chatting with us. What'd you say, Carnage?
I said I'm cutting Joe off as I'm making fun. Yeah. I'm just messing with you. All right, go ahead.
I was going to say, Timber, it's been amazing having you on chatting with us. I don't want to take up all your night. It has been an absolute pleasure having you on and getting you on the show to see what our dumb shit's all about. And
I, for the record, I love your dumb shit.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Thanks for giving me this opportunity to talk about indie. It's like, I'll take it. Looking forward to the rest of the show too. I'm going to be sticking around in chat.
Well, you are welcome to come back anytime you would like. Where can people keep up to date with you and what you're doing?
Well, first and foremost, if you want to keep up to date with ID at Xbox, we are very active on Twitter at ID_Xbox. Because we can't have the @. That's right. That's why we do that. Yeah. And for me, you can catch me on just about all the socials from Discord to Twitter at JustTimber with the Just. Thank you, K4, for the links.
Yep.
But yeah, Just_Twitter. We got an underscore thing going. I don't know. So we just like to make it really search. Yeah, just a nightmare.
And also there's the ID at Xbox Discord, right?
Yeah, you can check us out on Discord at ID at Xbox. We also, I'm ramping up to really start using our Instagram more, so you could catch us there on Instagram.
All the socials.
Yeah, all the socials except Facebook. I did burn my first order as community manager was to burn our Facebook to the ground. So please don't message us there.
Yeah, that, I've been
trying to kill our Facebook page. Like, Jacob is intent on keeping the Facebook page solely for shit posting and for getting episodes of the show up like 2 months after the fact. So this episode will show up on Facebook probably in like mid-November sometime.
But on YouTube, it'll be like tomorrow or
it'll be up on YouTube like this weekend.
That's the main place where
it'll show up like on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify. It'll be up this weekend. It'll show up on Facebook December or something.
It might make it before the end of the year.
It'd be cool. It'd be nice. I'll grill Jacob when he gets here and be like, when the hell is Facebook gonna be updated? I was tagged in a post on Facebook yesterday and I was like, oh, Jacob's finally updating it and he's getting something posted. And it was just some stupid post about not getting anything done.
Oh boy.
It's good. It's That's fun. Great. Love
burn it.
Yeah. I want
to
burn it to the ground so bad. Burn that mother down. We're going to take a quick break. We will be back with more show. Is there any game you would like us to play a song from?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That you're requesting. I'll see if I could track something down for you.
All right. You know what? I was listening to the soundtrack today. I feel I'm the worst indie community manager. Because can we play something from Little Big Planet, which has one of the coolest soundtracks of all time? I'd say either that or Ooblets, because I love anything from Ooblets, whichever you can find.
Yeah. Well, we will play something. So we'll play a song quick. We will be back with more show. And that's it for this. Timber, do you have any final words to end the interview?
Thank you guys for listening and hanging out with us tonight. I hope you guys check out what ID at Xbox has to offer. And if you're a developer looking to be part of the program, DMs are always open for you. And if you're getting banned from GTA, please don't message me. I cannot help you. Have a wonderful night or day or whatever time it is for you guys.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for sticking around. Another big thanks to Timber and Carnage for coming on and chatting. More show to take care of. Jacob's here. Aki's here. How are you two doing?
Woo.
I'm pretty good.
I've been enjoying video games, so I'm pretty good.
What games have you been enjoying, Aki?
Well, I enjoyed the hell out of Chernobylite, as everyone will know later on today.
Cool.
And then a little visual novel that was really fast that took me like an hour or two to finish.
Which I thought there was something non-show related that you were enjoying.
Yes, I am also playing Scarlet Nexus. I love it.
Nice. Playing via Game Pass?
Yes. Yes, I am.
You want to know why you're playing it via Game Pass? Because a lot of shit comes to Game Pass, and a lot of shit is coming to Game Pass. There's our segue for the news. A lot of stuff coming to Game Pass. Available now, we've got Totally Accurate Battle Simulator finally hit full release.
Nice.
The Procession of Calvary is available on Game Pass now, and Visage is added to Game Pass.
I've been looking forward to that one. I'm going to be playing that one too eventually.
I'm looking forward to the Calvary game. I heard the writing on that's really fucking funny.
Yeah. What kind of game is that? I've never heard of that one.
I don't know. I just heard that like the dialogue's amazing, and so and
it's like only, a like, 15 puzzle bucks, adventure so. Kind of game.
Oh fuck yeah! I'll probably play that too then.
Yeah, you'll probably both really like it. let's see, October 12th, Back for Blood in Game Pass.
Nice.
A lot of people excited about that one. And then Destiny 2 Beyond Light is hitting PC Game Pass. Yeah. October 14th, Ring of Pain and the Riftbreaker.
Those have interesting names. I know nothing about either of them, though.
I think they're both day one launches.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then October 15th, another day one launch, The Good Life.
That I've been looking forward to for like over a year now.
Yeah. So good stuff coming to Game Pass. Not all good news, though. There are games leaving Game Pass, so these games will be gone by the 16th. Get them while you can. PC is losing Heave Ho and the Sword of Ditto, Mormo's Curse. And then we are also losing Goner 2, Katana Zero, Scourgebringer, and Tales of Vesperia Definitive Edition.
Well, that's a shame. Those last three were all really good games.
I think all of them are really good games.
I didn't know the first... Cold junk of
them. Oh, Goner 2. You would probably like Sword of Ditto on PC.
I've never heard of that.
I don't think
it has. Is it something related though. To Pokemon?
No.
Oh.
Why would something related to Pokemon be on Xbox?
I don't know. It had the word Ditto in it. So I was like, oh, Pokemon. That's all I associate that with.
It's okay. My kid would follow that train of logic.
Yeah.
He was very upset when he found out that Pokemon, or new Pokemon Snap is not available on Xbox.
I can understand that. I would love that to be on Xbox.
I mean, I would too, but, you know, he doesn't understand IP yet, so. Intellectual property, not me peeing. I heard the yeah, pause, like I
I'm
just
pretty hear
the
sure pause. Everyone understands you peeing.
No. The thing is, like I hear the pause, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm gonna beat these fucks to the punch.
Oh man! Final Fighter for Smash Brothers Ultimate was announced, and it's Sora from Kingdom Hearts.
Boo!
I'm just glad that it's the final one, so I'll never have to fucking hear about Smash ever again.
Until the next game.
I was going to say, yeah, everyone's like, oh my god, I can't believe that this is it for Smash. And it's like, they're just going to release a new game like three or four years down the line. Like, be quiet.
I'm hoping. I think it'll probably be longer than that. But
I don't know. We'll see. It's cool that they supported this one for so long and that there's so many characters in there. People were mad that Kingdom Hearts is getting representation in the game without the games being on the Switch, but the games are coming to the Switch. There's the good news.
Oh,
the bad news, they're all cloud versions.
That doesn't shock me.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 1.5, 2.5 Remix Cloud Version, Kingdom Hearts 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue Cloud Version, and Kingdom Hearts 3 Plus Remind Cloud Version will all be coming out in the coming months, whenever.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then Doom Guy is getting a Mii Fighter costume.
Awesome.
So that's fun. Twitch was leaked online, like all of Twitch.
Yeah, and the data that they're going through is some interesting stuff. Like women make up less than 3% of the top earners from Twitch, or I guess, like I don't know if it's actually like top earners or if it's like top payouts from Twitch itself, but
I don't know.
It was a headline I had read, but yeah, so the source code and user payouts and doctor whatever the fuck. I don't understand why the dude's popular. He seems
so like all $400 that we've made in our 6 years on Twitch is now disclosed to the public.
Well, yeah, Joe, we need to be transparent about this. What did you spend that $600 on, you son of a bitch?
Look behind me.
Tell us now.
Well, my last payout I used on Ninja Turtle statues.
Oh, you fucking
such
son of a
waste
bitch.
Of money.
they are
such a waste. Holy shit,
Aki, did you see them though? They're I'm not gonna lie. I would never buy these things, but they are actually pretty sweet. But I'm just like, Joe, how much do they each cost? Like, what was it, $30 each?
Original price was $50 each. I paid $23 each.
Yeah, I looked at the other ones that were on the sale, and I was just like, yeah, I could find like five other ones that I'd purchased before these. Even then, like, I don't know.
They're good quality. I'm happy with them.
Well,
Krang looks like, awesome. Krang and Shredder look friggin' awesome. So.
That's fair. I wanted the Soundwave one from Transformers.
Carnage Sing Rock Band DLC. big shout out to Rock Band. They celebrated their 6th anniversary of Rock Band 4.
Wow.
Yeah, they celebrated by giving out a free 4-pack of songs. Nothing big, but free is free, so I'll take them.
Is that something you have to redeem in game, or?
No, you just go in the store and buy it for free.
Okay.
Yeah. It has officially put me over 2,900 songs in Rock Band.
You have far too fucking many.
I am at 2,902.
Out of how many?
2,905.
I was going to say, he's missing the Naked Brothers Band.
And World song. Turning. I'm missing and both Naked Brother Band songs.
And he'll never ever get them.
I'll never get them. No. Konami is rumored to be working on new entries in the Metal Gear, Silent Hill, and Castlevania series as it ramps up development to enter the premium game space once more. They are also apparently inviting indie developers to make new games based on some of their classic series in a new contest that they're running.
I've never played a Castlevania game, so...
Well, you should play the Castlevania Advance Collection because it's really...
Wait, how have you never played a Castlevania game, like, ever?
Because I haven't. I've also never played a Zelda game ever.
What? Have yep. you never? Did you never like download like emulators back in the day? Like,
nope.
Because I mean, like, I know all of us on this show are like broke as shit. So I mean, like, I figured we've all downloaded emulators at one point or another.
Nope, I'm not computer literate enough for that stuff. I don't even know how to find that kind of crap that's trustworthy. I don't know.
Oh, geez.
So no, I've never played any of those ever. I have played a couple Castlevania game or
you're not
Metroidvania games, but never a Castlevania one. The closest is Bloodstained Rituals of the Night.
Let me get this sentence straight again. You said you're not computer savvy enough to know how to download emulators and where to...
To find a trustworthy one, yeah.
God, Joe, use the Twitch stream cash to, like, come on, pay for some computer
classes
for Rocky. It's the right thing to do.
We're getting questions in chat. Raider Biz is asking, have I played every song that I own in Rock Band? No. Yes.
That's a good question.
Really?
No, I have not.
Why not?
There's a few hundred I haven't played, either because they're not fun or they're too difficult.
They're not fun. Them. Hold on. What?
Then why do I buy them? Fun? So I have everything. Yeah. Duh. And I don't know that they're shitty songs until after I buy them.
Can you not play them on easy?
I mean, you can play them on easy. I just don't play them on expert.
Well, if you play them on easy, you've still played them.
Yeah, the goal is to eventually play everything, but as of now, I haven't. The goal is to get there, though.
6 years. Wow.
Longer than that, because Rock Band has been around since Rock Band. The 6 years is just for Rock Band 4.
Oh, is that not what all the songs are on? Is Rock Band 4?
Yeah, but there was also Rock Band 1, 2, and 3 before then. One of these days, Joe needs to do a marathon Rock Band stream to play every song.
He would die.
I don't have that time.
Even if you did, that'd be like... days straight.
3,000 songs back to back? No.
It would be like the good old days of MTV where they would play like every single music video ever in their like entire catalog for like 5 days straight. And so like, I don't know. I always thought it was cool because like my brother and I, like we'd wake up at random times in the middle of the night just to see where they were at. And it's like, oh, they're on Springsteen. Let's check back around 10 a.m. to see when they get to Weird Al. You know?
Yeah. The average song is what? 3 minutes long?
Probably. 3-4 minutes long. Yeah.
All right. Hold on.
Let's, yeah. Wugga in chat saying even a single endless set list is a marathon event. Yeah. You could spend hours on just an endless set list in Rock Band 3.
Hours.
Hold on, Joe. How many songs did you say you have?
2902.
2902. So we're times that by 3. Okay, divided by 60. 145 hours.
Yeah, that's six days.
Yeah, we're going with a big fat fucking no on me doing that.
Joe, I hope you're up to becoming addicted to meth to stay awake long.
Another question from Thimber is asking. So the question is, why is Rock Band still going and Guitar Hero died? Easy solution there, because Guitar Hero completely changed their gameplay with their latest game. They switched from a 5-button layout to a 3x2 button layout, so 6 buttons, and they completely changed the way the game was played, and it sucked. It was fucking awful. And then all of the good content is gone because it was all streaming based. So all of those songs that they had on Guitar Hero TV are gone, and you cannot play them.
Plus, wasn't it like, they made you pay per song, or I mean, like, obviously, like, you pay per song, but like each time you play the song, you have to pay for it.
Only if you wanted to play a specific song. You could go onto their streaming, like on the live streaming, and play whatever was going on there and just play. But if you wanted to play a specific streaming song, you had to pay with tokens or whatever the hell it was.
Stupid. No wonder it died.
It was awful. I much prefer Rock Band, where you just buy your songs and you own your songs. That's why we're with Rocksmith doing a subscription-based service with Rocksmith Plus. I'm losing all interest. I don't want to do a subscription-based service for a video game. I have too many subscriptions the way it is. Just let me buy my music and leave it at that. Let me buy what I want. Let's see. PlayStation Now additions for October. They're getting a whole bunch of games added to PS Now. The Last of Us 2 will be there until January 3rd. And then Fallout 76 is getting added, Amnesia Collection, Desperados 3, Final Fantasy 8 Remastered, Victor Vran Overkill Edition, and yet another Zombie Defense HD, all joining PlayStation Now.
Not bad.
Yeah. PS3 and the Vita stores are removing the ability to buy games via credit card and PayPal. You will need to add your funds to your account through the web or through another console store, and then buy the games on PS3 and Vita.
Fucking why? Yeah. That sounds stupid. That's like a waste of time.
Because they're shutting all that shit down. So, last bit of news I have is that Randy Pitchford is stepping down as Gearbox Software president, but will remain as Gearbox Entertainment president and CEO. So basically, he's failing upwards.
Pretty much.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like a pretty cushy position at that point. And yeah. He's just going to be in charge of their film and TV shows. So, I mean,
yeah,
Borderlands, whatever the Duke Nukem project is. Yeah, so he's overseeing two things.
Yeah.
And one of them's already, like, done filming.
Well, hopefully this means he doesn't fuck around with the games anymore. But that's the news I have. What do you have?
Aki, you got anything? Or
I don't pay attention to news at all.
That's okay. Helpful when you do a podcast.
Hey, I do the reviews. I am the review person. I am not the news.
You're
person.
The review person. Oh, Joe, did you hear that? I don't do reviews. Rude.
What do you have, Jacob? Come on.
So Rockstar has officially confirmed that Agent is dead. It was originally supposed to be a PS3 exclusive. Then they killed that version of the game, which was supposed to be set in like a James Bond spy-ish kind of world. And then they brought it back to life, and it was going to be multi-platform, but that has since died, and now Rockstar is just like, yeah, we're not going to bother with the idea anymore. So, in case you were looking forward to a, like, 10-year-old game finally coming out, no. Capcom has said that it's now going to focus mostly on PC as its main platform going forwards, after the success of Resident Evil 8 and Monster Hunter Rise.
Makes sense. Focus on PC and port from there.
Yeah, I guess. And then also speaking of Capcom related news, the Resident Evil movie, Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City, which is a reboot of the entire series, supposedly going to be closer to the games, but whatever. The trailer has now been released, and it does have a UK release date of December 3rd. I haven't watched the trailer yet. Have you, Joe?
No. Didn't even know it was a thing.
Oh. Okay. Well, tune in next week for us talking about the trailer, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Okay. China is supposedly looking into banning games that include same-sex relationship and quote-unquote effeminate men.
Okay, China, why?
It's supposedly to quote-unquote employ to cultivate a patriotic atmosphere in the entertainment industry.
Hey.
Their rules are weird on that kind of shit, because, like, I remember, I think it was, God, probably like 10 years ago, they actually banned shows from doing time travel subplots, because essentially it was like, they wanted people to, like, focus on, like, the now and how they could improve, you know, stuff now and not do, like, all this, like, historical revision shit. Like, I don't, like, let the government do the historical revision, I guess. I don't know. I don't live there. I don't try to make sense of their crap.
That's the wise thing.
So supposedly, and I've, True Achievements posted this, and I've seen it posted a couple of other places. We may be getting new backwards compatibility games, at some point this year.
Yeah, I heard that, but because of how unreliable it seemed, I didn't.
Or like the possibility of it being a mistake.
Yeah, or just unknown testing.
Right.
Like, the list of games that they had included were friggin' awesome if they were possible inclusions. I miss the backward compatibility program so much, and I hope to God that they're bringing it back.
I really do, too, especially when I saw the list of games, you know, as you said. The titles that people saw were Dead or Alive 3, Dead or Alive Ultimate, Full Spectrum Warrior, 10 Hammers, Gladius, Gun Valkyrie, Chicken Little, like, and
Advent Rising.
Damn it, Joe.
So I knew Chicken Little.
Gun Valkyrie and Gladius have my attention.
Advent Rising and DOA are the only ones I care about. I mean, but honestly, if they offered Chicken Little for sale, I'd probably pick it up just for shits and giggles.
$15? Yeah, why not? $10-$15? Fuck it. YOLO.
Yeah.
Rupert's saying more Japanese shmups, please. Yeah, seriously.
Seriously? Sorry.
I don't really understand the backwards compatibility thing. I don't understand why they can't just make it to where if you own the game, you can just play it.
Because
like, they make it to where you can play specific games.
Because the system isn't designed to read those discs. Like, it can't read the data off the disc. It can't process the data on those discs. All it could do is read the disc ID. So it knows what it is, but it can't read what's on it. That's why it connects online and downloads an emulated copy of the game.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Every game that you download has its own specific emulator programmed for that game wrapped in it. That's why a game that's like 20 meg on 360 is like 600 meg on Xbox One.
Okay.
Because it's got
the
entirety of the Xbox system included in the wrapper.
Okay, that kind of makes more sense now.
So they and it's a legality thing where they have to get the proper licensing and clearance to redistribute the files. Like, they can't just do it to any game. they have to get the proper clearance to do it. Like, if it was something where the hardware was baked into the Xbox One or the Series X and S to read and play those discs, you could play whatever you want. That's why PS3s could still play PS1 games, because okay, it was just baked into the hardware.
I would like them to bring that into future consoles, because that'd be nice.
It'd be nice, but I think it's too complex to do.
That's what I liked about the PS2, was that it could play all the PS1 and PS2 games. That's specifically why I got the PS2. And then I heard that the PS3s, only the first shipping of those allowed you to play the prior games. So I was like, well, I missed that. So if I can't get that and play my PS1 and 2 games on it, then I'll just try Xbox. Fuck it. Why not?
Fun fact, you could play PS1 games on any PS3. It's just PS2 games you can't.
Well, damn, I could have been playing a fucking Legend of Dragoon game.
Yep.
That was like one of my main things. I wanted to play that.
Yep. There you go. Well, Jacob, any other news?
Well, the greatest news of all time. Farmville 3 is coming out on November 4th.
Yay.
Joe, aren't you excited? It's coming out for iOS, Android, and Mac. Featuring over 150 breeds of animals, including tigers and alpacas, the pet.
Okay, so are we just going to reviews?
Yes.
Excuse me. And it also features a cast of 30-year diverse farmhands who help you bake, fish, a lumberjack, and craft your way to adequate agriculture status. And it has an in-game weather system.
Ooh.
All right, yeah, I'm done.
All right, first game to talk about tonight is A Juggler's Tale, developed by Kaleidoscube, published by Mixed Vision, released September 29th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $17.99. Lead Abby the String Puppet through a bruised but beautiful fairy tale world in this cinematic adventure. Solve riddles, evade traps, and shake off your pursuers on the way to find freedom. Can Abby take control of her fate with all the strings attached? Jacob, tell us about it.
So the game starts off at this bar where a puppeteer is going to be entertaining everyone there, and this is where we meet Abby, you know, obviously the puppet that's on strings. And so Abby is very limited with where she can go. I mean, obviously she can run around the world, but there's going to be stuff blocking her strings, or just natural, you know, natural environment stuff. All right, so for example, like, you might have this one area where, like, a windmill, it's blocking, like, one of its blades is blocking, you know, her strings, and so she's not going to be able to get past that, and you have to figure out a way to turn the windmill so she can walk past it. Meanwhile, there's natural environmental stuff, like, you know, whether it's heights. At the same time, water is never, ever, ever going to be your friend. And it's just, you have to figure, like, it's a lot of puzzles in this game and try to figure out what the next move is and, like, what's something that you possibly missed. And, you know, eventually, hopefully, figure out what the heck the solution is. And throughout the whole adventure, the narrator is there narrating, surprise, what's going on, but then also talks to you, you know, as Abby. It is just like, oh, Abby, like, you'll do this, like, little rhyme about, you know, picking yourself up and, you know, everything will be just fine or something like that. I can't do rhymes off the cuff anyway. But then what's kind of fun with that is that if you keep falling at the puzzle, like, you can tell the narrator's getting frustrated with you and eventually will just stop talking until you figured crap out. So the narrator stopped talking to me a bunch. But so you pretty much just move through these levels and the story unfolds. It's very beautiful. Some of the puzzles are not particularly, you know, it'll just seem like you'll just, like, honestly, like, the first puzzle that I came across that I was really struggling with was you just had to jump like 10 feet across a pond, but you had to figure out how to get it done. And the thing is that there was nothing there that made it, you know, obvious. And I eventually had to look things up with this one. And it's just the cameras, you know, the camera is only, you know, you're only looking forward at, you know, at the action from the puppet show. And so it's not like I could just, like, look around the entire world and see, like, oh, there's a door I'm supposed to use as, like, a, you know, as like a miniature boat or something like that. They're like, there's nothing like it. And so the game itself is not helpful. The camera is stuck in one angle. And so you're going to spend your time racking your brain on this one. And in that regard, it kind of reminds me of like the adventure days of old, like the text adventure games, where it's just like you just have to use your imagination to try to figure out what the heck you could see in the scenery that could possibly help you move on to the next part. I mean, it's fine if you're looking for something like the Unraveled games that EA released a few years back. It's kind of along those lines. It's also a fairly frustrating game, so if this is something that you're that you think you might be able to relax to, I can tell you right now, unless your idea of relaxing is also to make you like hate yourself and wonder why you're so dumb at this, you know, this might not be up your alley. But all in all, I thought it was a pretty decent game.
Well, then $18, what are your thoughts on A Juggler's Tale?
$18 is a little steep. I'd be more okay with like 10 to 15, but you know, if you're looking for a challenge, and as I said, it's similar to the Unraveled games. You know, if you're a fan of those games, I'd recommend it. Otherwise, I might wait for a sale on this one.
Right. Is this harder or easier than the Unraveled games?
I would say it's harder than Unraveled 2, but on par with the first one.
Okay, then I'd probably like this game then.
I thought the first game was much harder, but then at the same time, I also had my wife to help play Unraveled 2 with, and so we were constantly like bouncing ideas off of each other as to how to get to the next part. So, and this thing's single player, so you're stuck by yourself.
I'm fine with that. I don't like other people. I can admit my faults. I don't like other people. I know.
It's fair. Fair. All right, next game to talk about is Underland, developed by Mini Cactus Games, published by Cubite Interactive. Released September 30th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $7.99. The dynamic scenario, fluid mechanics, and the laws of physics must be manipulated correctly to achieve the goal. Find the city of Underland. Jacob, tell us about your time with Underland.
So this was the week of games that make Jacob feel dumb. so
isn't that every week?
It is not.
Considering he's also reviewing Blaze later in the show, I think I know what game made him feel dumb the most.
Shut up. Just because I had to find a strategy guide on how to beat the game. So Underland, in this game, you are leading a bunch of astronauts. Now, it might only be one, it might be two. Like each level is different with its goals as to how many astronauts actually have to survive. But pretty much, there are 30 levels, and you are just you've landed on Earth, and you're trying to make your way to this underground city. But everything's radioactive and terrible, and you know, there's acid everywhere, not the fun kind. And you just have to dig through the ground while also trying to make it to the next tunnel area, which I don't quite understand, like, the setup of the game. I mean, like, you know, how everything is supposed to work theoretically with getting to each level, but whatever. Anyway, so pretty much you will have various tools at your disposal, whether it's this like huge saw that like, you know, tunnels through rock. You might also get these like little roverish things that have like TNT strapped to them and like they explode holes places.
Those were my favorite to work with. It's just it was fun to just lose stages just by having fun with those fucking things.
Although I wish they kind of like blew up bigger explosions than what they did, but yeah, they were fun to play around with, and hopefully not explode your own team members, which did happen for me.
Yeah.
So anyways, so this game, unfortunately, I got stuck on this one too, and there are there's no guides online yet, as to how to solve each of the worlds. So like I spent tons of time racking my brain trying to figure out how I can make it so the astronauts could walk up a path, avoid the acid, and just get to the next part. And it's this it's a really fun idea. It's also really aggravating, especially since, like, the astronauts can't, like, move behind any of their stuff. Like, you know, if you're, if one of your astronauts so much as touches the saw robot thing, it just immediately dies.
Yeah.
Like, it can't walk past it. Like, and so the solutions are not always intuitive. That simple.
Yeah.
Right. And the, so there is a lot of trial and error, and thank God that, like, there's no achievement that is like, you know, make it through the game without dying or losing a guy once or something like that.
Yeah, the achievements just are pretty straightforward. Just beat all the levels. Yeah. That's all you got to
do. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, that's good in that regard, but it's just like,
yeah, it gets tough quick and it doesn't let up.
Yeah. I got pretty frustrated with the game. I know other people are going to be all over this stuff, so I do really appreciate that $8.99 price point. Even though I
$7.99 price point.
Oh, sorry, $7.99 even better.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a dollar discount from what I said. so even though I was really frustrated with it, I'd still be okay with spending $8 on this game for myself. If you're looking, this is not a relaxing game in any shape or form other than the fact that there's no time limit and, like, there's no set amount of deaths before, like, you fail everything. For $7.99, I'd recommend it, but just go in there knowing that you are going to pull out your hair.
Cool. All right. Well, you're done.
No, that was quick. That's what she said.
Yeah. No, you'll be back later on to talk about Blaze and the Monster Machines. But that'll be later on in the show. So,
all right.
We'll let you skitter on out of here for now.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, peace.
Loodles.
Ready for yours, Aki?
Yep.
All right, next game to talk about is Chernobylite, developed by The Farm 51, published by All In Games, released September 28th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $29.99. Chernobylite is a sci-fi survival horror RPG with challenging combat and a unique crafting mechanic. Set in the hyper-realistic 3D scanned wasteland of Chernobyl's exclusion zone, explore a non-linear storyline in your search to uncover the truth. Aki, tell us about your time with Chernobylite.
All right. You play as Igor, looking for your missing wife, Tatiana. Both of you were there when Chernobyl went tits up, and you couldn't find her. And now you've come back, learning of a new element, I guess we'd call it, called Chernobylite, which is another radioactive power source. And it allows you to open portals and shit. So you use that to try and find your wife, basically. But you also have to get in there, and it's being held by a military force. So, yay. You have to get in there, you have to steal some of this Chernobylite, and then that's when the game actually really takes off. After that, the game is split in between three different things you do, and each one of them has their own difficulty that you can set, which is fantastic. The first is obviously combat, because as you go around, you have to fight people. The other is resource management, because you do have to find shit. And then the last one is survival stuff. And they all mix fairly well together. Every day you have a place that you can go, and eventually you'll find people that you can invite back to your bunker to help you and live there and be all fun family bullshit and all that. And once that happens, you can also send them out to do things, and they have a percentage chance of failure and of succeeding and all that. So you can equip them with a weapon, with some armor, what have you, and it'll raise their likelihood of coming back with crap. And when you're out, you can also pick up stuff. They only pick up a couple things because they're fucking worthless, whilst you can pick up as much shit as there is in the level, and you have room in your inventory, which is a lot of shit. But because you can change the difficulties of all three of these different things completely separate of each other, it you can tailor it a lot to what you personally like. For instance, I hate management and I don't like survival either. That shit is misery inducing for me. I like combat. I like stealth. So I was like, okay, I will keep the combat and stuff. I'll keep that at normal. Everything else I'm going to toss not just to easy, but to very easy because I'm a little bitch and I am fine with that.
I don't judge. And
it goes from very easy to very hard or to insane. I think it goes hard, very hard and insane. I don't think it goes just hard then insane. And in it, like for the management one, it's like, yeah, when you put it to insane, it says, yeah, you're probably not going to keep your people. It's like, okay, so that's terrifying. So that's for people who really know their shit. So I flipped it to very easy because I was like, I don't want to deal with this. And I never really had to deal with it. Yay! when you lower the survival stuff, you find more resources. When you lower the management stuff, the people don't get made as unhappy. Because you actually have to take care of their happiness meters, basically, which means filling your bunker with a bunch of useless shit to make them happy. And when I say useless shit, I mean, like, I created a bench made out of Chernobylite and set it down, and that made them a little happy. So I just put it in a corner and I just stacked a whole bunch of them up and then put another stack next to them, another stack, and another stack, and I made them extremely happy just by stacking a bunch of garbage in the corner. And I was like, yes, I can do this. It was terrible. I feel bad for the people in my bunker. So bad for them. Because like I just made hospital beds. And I just sat them right next to each other, so anyone who needed to sleep would have had to have climbed over everyone the fuck else. And I put them all right next to loud fucking machines.
That's awful.
Yeah, no. If this had a proper happiness meter, they would have been pissed. But some other things you have to take care of is how much air purity you have, because some of the machines you put in there, either they produce fumes or they produce radiation and stuff, and you just need to purify the air, anti-radiation, electricity usage. You have to take care of all that stuff, which just means building more crap, which I did. I just built crap and stacked it in the corner again. I'm really good at stacking shit in the corner. It's very easy to do. So that's what I did. But outside of that, you go out into every level, into the world, and there's six different areas you can visit in Chernobyl. And they're each their own little section, and sometimes you get main missions. If you select that, you further the time. Or you can just keep selecting areas where the main mission isn't. And eventually you'll have to select it, because you need to move forward in the fucking game. Just because there's nothing else for you to do, which is what I did. I got to like day 4 and I had everything built, because again, I was playing it on easy. And I was like, okay, I guess I should just start playing the main game. And then it took me to like day 9 because I did a cheap little exploit.
Oh geez.
But I'm good at this stuff. After you complete the day, which is completed just whenever you use your teleporter to go back to the base, which means, you know, you could go there, grab one item, and then immediately head out. Or you can stay in there for, you know, a couple hours looking for absolutely everything you can pick up and then head back. Full day went by regardless. Then you can sleep, or if you have everything built, there's also a chamber where you can kill yourself and restart the day. But it allows you to keep everything you've already got. It also keeps any main mission you finished as finished, which is why I went to day like 9 because I just kept killing myself. I was like, okay, because your character also has to, you have to feed your characters as well, including your own. If you don't feed them, their mental fortitude goes down. And eventually when it hits low enough, their physical health starts going down. So because you can kill yourself when you start up, you start off back at full life and full mind. So I just was like, I'm just not going to eat anything for my character and leave all the food for everyone else and just kill myself. Be done with it. Because they left that in the game and I decided to exploit the shit out of it. Nice. Yeah. And whilst you're doing all this stuff, you occasionally come across people that aren't enemies, which is pretty rare, that you can interact with. Sometimes they'll sell you some crap for, like, food and stuff like that for rations and the like. They might give you some gear or some stuff like electronics and crap so you can build more crap in your base. Other than that, there's, you know, locked doors that you need to craft lockpicks for when you're at base, because you can't make them on the fly. You can't really make much of anything on the fly. There is some stuff that you can build that allows you to make stuff, but you can't, like, just pop open your inventory and be like, okay, I want to just have, like, 20 lockpicks now. Can't do that, sadly. But yeah, you end up meeting five or six characters that join you. And they can leave. If you piss them off enough, they'll be like, fuck you, and just leave. And you can also just tell them to fuck off yourself at any point you want, which is pretty funny. You just be like, no, I think it's time we part ways. Fuck off. I don't know what happens if you do that, because you shouldn't be doing that. So I didn't do that. Yeah, so, you know, most of the game is just you visiting the same area over and over and over again, either because there's a main mission in that area or because you need resources that happen to be in that area. Because it's not like, oh, the forest has these resources every time. Now, sometimes it's like, oh, there's a munition stockpile here, and it'll only be here for one more day. Or, oh, here's a food supply that was dropped in, and it'll only be here for so many days. And those can be anywhere. They refresh constantly. So, yeah, you're constantly moving around where you want to go based on what you want. But they all have a multitude of the resources in every area that you go into, for the most part, that you can pick up. They're just in much smaller quantities.
Yeah. Overall, seems like you enjoyed this one.
I loved it.
$30 on it. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm totally for it. I think the game took me 40 hours to beat, I think. So, yeah, I think it's totally worth it.
Cool. All right, next up is Caddy and Batty, the Spirit Guide, developed by Philip Lehner, published by Sometimes You, releasing October 13th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and Switch for $4.99 each. Caddy and Batty, the Spirit Guide, is a casual couch co-op puzzle game inspired by Lemmings and Tower Defense. Play as Caddy or Batty and build a path to guide spirits home. Our friend Serlina covered this one, wrote in a review. This is what she's got to say. Hello, SML lovelies. It's your girl, Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Caddy and Batty, the Spirit Guide for Xbox One, so let's jump right into the review. In this game, you play as Caddy the Cat or Batty the Bat, and it's your task to make sure that all the spirits are sent back to the spirit world. Along the way, you meet another cute character or two, but that's pretty much it for story. The story's not really designed to hook you, so let's talk about the gameplay. In single-player mode, you control one of the two characters at a time. Once the spirits are unleashed, they'll take off in various directions, and it's up to you to corral them to the spirit door to complete the level. The simplest way to do this is by setting up boxes in front of the spirits' pathways. The boxes will then divert the spirits to another direction, and it'll continue on that path. The puzzle solving isn't very difficult, though it may take you some time to get the spirits to go where you want them to go. You set boxes by pressing A, and to remove them, you press B. You can also switch between Caddy or Batty by pressing the right trigger. A lovely little tidbit the game doesn't actually tell you. In the earlier levels, it's not a big deal, but in the later levels, you'll need to switch off, so you might as well get that out of the way right now. As you traverse the game, you're introduced to other obstacles like portals, locked spirit doors, an adorably frustrating box cat, and even snow. Each of these hazards gives you something to mitigate, but I didn't find them all that challenging, just time-consuming. Let's get to the graphics. The game is hand-drawn and starts off in black and white, and it's quite cute. You can also adjust the color mode in the settings page, which was a nice addition. I'm partial to black and white, but the Game Boy colors were calling my name. Graphics won't blow your pants off, though, so if you're looking for stunning visuals, not the game for you. Instead, this game gives off the drew this for my kids and decided to make it a game vibe, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that vibe. Caddy and Batty, the Spirit Guide, will be released on October 13th for Xbox One for $4.99, and should you buy it, it's a try it from me. Normally, due to the price tag, I'd give it the fuck it, why not, but there's some mitigating factors. I feel like the game is perfect for playing with your younger children, features couch co-op, has a runtime of about 2 hours, and the puzzles are easy for adults, but I imagine a child may have some difficulties, especially with the portals at later levels. Playing this game alone as an adult or even with an adult friend, you'll get bored very quickly. But hey, if you want to clear it for the easy 1,000 achievement points, I'm not mad at you. Do you and be happy. So there you go. If you want some easy achievements, there you go. Caddy and Batty.
Easy achievements are good achievements.
Indeed. All right. Next game is Tacorita Meets Fries, developed by Rose Verde, published by Rattleika Games, released October 1st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $4.99. Quai visual novel about the tale about the amazing wonder of French fries. Aki, tell us about Tacorita Meets Fries.
Oh, man. Where to begin with this?
I don't know. Where do you start with this one? You tell me.
I don't know. You follow a princess of the ocean who's decided she hates what her people eat, which is just soup all the time because they're fucking underwater and it's not like you're going to have, like, you know, really decent food underwater because it's going to get soggy and fall apart anyways and it's just going to be soup. So she's like, no, fuck this. I'm going on an adventure because I'm tired of fucking soup. I want real food. And her dad's like, no. She's like, yes. And he's like, okay, but only for a week. She's like, but I want a month. Okay, you get 2 weeks.
What?
Yeah, her dad is, what's the right term? A little bitch, I think is the right term for it. He bends so easily to everything. The writing is kind of iffy sometimes. Not everything that the characters say makes sense, because I assume the writers are not native English speakers. So their interaction for the whole beginning of this was kind of confusing a little bit, because you also meet her mom, and the dad bends to her will just as readily. He's so worthless. And really, the princess that you play as is a terrible person. She's been created to be kind of cutesy, and lots of things she does is kind of funny. She also kind of treats people like shit, which is kind of weird because I don't think that's what they meant for it to come off as, but it very much is. Because she has a guard that comes with her that she calls Murmur, and he's a merman, and his name is Mur. And she talks about how his tail makes her hungry and kind of makes her want to eat him, to fry him up and stuff. And then she decides to do the Ursula thing and be like, okay, give me your voice and I'll give you legs. Just because she doesn't like listen to him talk. okay. Yeah, and then she goes on land to search for food. And then the next, like, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 minutes is just her on land searching for food with this young boy named Dino, who's part of Sore Village. So he is Dinosaur, because, of course, yeah.
Where's Carnage for this?
Carnage would fucking love this game. It is pun after fucking pun.
Oh,
and Dino's cousin, which I forgot her name, and they're just searching for different items to make food out of, because none of them know what anything is. Like, one of the items you can find is a potato, and no one knows what a fucking potato is. Because Dinosaur Village only eats meat, and obviously potatoes don't grow underwater.
So anyway.
It's really funny. There's 3-4 sort of ends. There's 4 different paths you can take throughout it. They all kind of converge to the same fucking ending eventually. And once you've played all 4 of them, you get an epilogue. And this game takes maybe an hour and a half to to play. That's it. After you beat the area, you know where the choices are, so you can actually start just that chapter and then skip through all the dialogue until you get to that choice again, and then make the different choice and then follow that path, and you can just keep doing that, which is what I did because it made life a lot easier. And yeah, the art style is really cute. It's all chibi, which usually isn't something I'm up for, but it was really, really cute chibi. So I was like, fuck it. I'll enjoy this for a little bit. And yeah.
It's $5. So what do you think?
I'm for it. I mean, it's so weird, and it's just so fucking weird. I'm for that. I'm just like, this is one of the weirdest little fucking games I've played.
Nice.
Just because everyone's so just, it's odd.
Carnage, is it a fry it? I mean, a try it?
Yeah. Yeah. There is one thing for any of you who have kids or something. You're like, oh, this would be a good kids game. It does have LGBT relationships in it. So if you're a bigot, you might not like this. Otherwise, yeah, it could be something good for showing your kids that
it is rated T for teen for sexual themes. So
yeah, the sexual themes are more like, oh, a guy took his shirt off.
Oh
yeah. Oh, and the fish guy, when he gets on land, he is pantsless, but his crotch area has like a giant octopus over it, so people can't see anything.
A octopus?
God, no! Oh no! Yes. So yeah, there's that. And,
oh, if only I didn't have to appease like
Carnage
publishers and people like that. I would just name the episode "Cocktopus," but I can't.
Fucking do it. Appease me. I'm more important.
I can't. All right, well, that's it for you. We're going to let you get going. Jacob's going to come back with his kids, and we're going to do one last review. So do you have any final words before I boot you the hell out of here?
I'm just going to go and enjoy some more Scarlet Nexus now. That's it. Nothing funny this time. I'm sorry.
Why start now, right?
Hey!
All right, and final game to talk about tonight is called Blaze in the Monster Machines Axel City Racers, developed by 3D Clouds, published by Outright Games, released October 1st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $39.99. On your marks, get ready to race with Blaze, Pickle, Crusher, and more Monster Machine friends. From Axel City to the Monster Dome, the world of Blaze is yours to explore. Race at blazing speeds for the championship or play with four players in split-screen mode. Jacob's back to talk about this one, and he's brought some company. Jacob, take it away.
Hey, so I got my kids here.
Yay.
And?
Budgie.
What's your name? Budgie. No, your name's not Budgie.
He said Bungie.
Bungie. Well, you're not representing Bungie either. What's your name?
Silas.
Yep, Silas. Okay, so I got my kids, Sam and Silas, here to discuss it, as they played quite a bit of it. Yep, that's enough. All right, as they played quite a bit of the game. So
you beat the entire thing.
Yeah, I beated the entire game. Yeah, I did. Yeah, we have all the achievements except for the four-player one, because we only have two controllers.
Uh-huh.
Whatever. It just gives me incentive to actually come up and visit you. All right. So anyway, so it's similar to other arcade racer games, even kart racing games. And pretty much you just play as, I believe it's eight different characters from the Blaze and the Monster Machines
show,
which I'm not very familiar with. It seems like it tries to teach science concept to kids.
No, it's math, science, almost everything.
Okay. So a lot of STEM stuff. And they throw in random like science facts during like the breaks in between races and stuff, which are a little confusing because I don't really understand like what the show, like what the target audience is, because Silas watches it more and he's on the younger side, and it's like it's talking about like inertia and stuff.
I saw those tips and I'm like, this is like
I didn't learn about this stuff till like eighth grade.
They're trying to actually help kids learn on the right path. That's what the show is for.
Well, that there you go, Joe. We're not on the right path.
We've never been on the right path.
That's fair. We've,
that's only for kids that don't have schools yet, like younger kids like him.
Yeah, that's true. Like kids like Silas who aren't in school yet. All right, and so there are, I want to say it's 13 maps that you can go through at, what's up?
10.
10 maps? Okay.
Yeah, that's my biggest gripe with this game is that I just don't feel the content is there.
There aren't, I mean, like, I liked the various levels. I mean, like, they, once you get outside of the city, they have, like, a distinct look to them, but at the same time, like, it's, most of them are set in the city, and some of them are figure eight races, which I was fine with. I mean, like, I'm not gonna lie, the first time I was on one of them, I did get lost, but quickly figured out what they were doing, because, you know, it's a figure eight. But at the same time, like, I could see it being a bit of an issue for kids, like, who are, like, between, like, 3 and 5, who aren't used to that kind of stuff, because this is very much, like, a my first racing game.
Oh, definitely. And I got to give them props. I love that they have the assists in there, like the auto steering and the auto driving.
Yeah. Which I think we threw that on occasionally for Silas, although Silas is also very independent and wants to lose on his own, you know, on his own merit. So, what did you want to, what did you want to toss in, Sam?
Why can't we just add gates to the eights one?
What do you mean?
So, what I mean, like, once you go through the white, the other two passes in the eighth one will be closed, and you have to go through the white one.
Oh, I get you. Or, like, maybe, like, have it, like, elevated, so you're, like, you're going over a bridge and, like, under a tunnel or something like that. Yeah, I mean, for kids who are, like, you know, three to six, that would actually be have been a better mechanic, and so they wouldn't have gotten lost as much. You know, I that happens. I mean, heck, I got, as I said, I got lost on my first one. Not well, not you. Well, there we go. but with that, so each of the characters has their own power up, which was kind of nice that, you know, you just had to go in there and collect the little cans of
wrenches.
Thank you. I couldn't remember what they were.
Double-sided.
Anyway, so you had to collect 10 of them, and each character has their own unique power, which was kind of nice because then, as like, it doesn't force the kids to have to memorize who does what. Well, I mean, like, what was it? Crusher, he lays traps. Pickle has, like, a force field.
Super shield.
Accordion. You know, Blaze, you know, just boosts ahead. There was, like, a... What's the Triceratops one called?
Zag and he...
Zag. Yeah, he like, headbutts whoever's in front of him.
Starlar, I never actually tried out. I don't know what she does. I think she just
uses... What, is that the electricity one?
No, that's... The electricity one just electrifies whoever...
Right, and then there's also, like, Stripes, who plays this, like, music, and the thing is that they all affect the racers around you, but, like, you never see anybody actually, like, get hit, which I thought was, like, an interesting touch for that kind of...
They always spin when they get hit.
Right, nobody gets hit, like, in Mario Kart, you know, it's just, like, they just spin out or something like that, which... You know, for, I guess if, like, you're trying to keep kids away from, like, violence, quote-unquote,
yeah.
You know, that, like, I thought that that was a nice artistic touch to it. But, yeah, it's just, there isn't a lot of variety with the levels. You know, as you said, there aren't many of them. I will say this, though, the AI does not feel cheap in it, and Sam and I were having a good time when we were going head-to-head. Because although Sam, there are times when Sam's giving me a run for my money on, like, Hot Wheels and, Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing, most of the time I'm far ahead on him because, you know, even though I'm a parent, like, sorry, if we're playing Mario Kart, I'm not going to let my kid win.
You are, like, awful.
I am awful. I fully admit that. Like, those are the only type of games I will not, like, you know, I will not slow myself down on.
He actually, He actually braked it in the middle of Hot Wheels and I zoomed in past him.
Yeah, but it's not like
I just asked him.
Yeah, but you didn't win against me.
Mm-hmm. But at least
anyway, stop. But anyway, so Blazing the Monster Machines. There were a number of times where Sam and I were pretty much head to head. First and second place. That was pretty fun.
You kept using those tracks, and I used it super shield to make sure it wouldn't hurt me.
Yeah. And so
you just laid out a trap, I would just have
some. Yeah, he would either use super shield or he was getting pretty good at swerving around the trap.
In one time, when my force field just disappeared when I just drove it over?
Oh, yeah. That was bunk. But yeah, and so it's just like the AI never feels cheap, and it's a lot of fun for us. However, I will say this, my kids have been spoiled by other arcade racers, and so even though Silas, like, this is his target market, like, he's the target market for this game, and to a little bit of an extent, Sam is too. Because they've played games like Hot Wheels Unleashed, Sega All-Stars Racing. Sam's even played Forza Horizon 3. And during this, you know, I was like, all right, guys, we got to play this. You know, Mr. Joe got us this game. We have to, you know, do this kind of stuff. They kind of lost interest in it. And I don't know if that's due to, like, the lack of variety or it's just they've played other games that are, you know, more mature.
And we get to play Lego Star Wars.
We get to play. Lego Star Wars isn't really like a game like Blazing the Monster Machines. It's not a racing game, though. Okay. So, like, there were times when it's just like, you know, I'd be like, all right, guys, we got to play this. And then after two races, they'd be like, can we play Hot Wheels? Like,
or Lego Jurassic World.
Or Lego Jurassic World. Yeah, so.
I love that you try to make a point, and your kids do everything they can to undercut your point and just ruin what you're doing.
Pretty much.
I love it.
Well, you're not the only one. I've been told by multiple people that they love our ad. Oh, good, and Angus has showed up now to distract my kids even more. So at $40, I didn't think that this was like the worst game to give your kid. I mean, like, we've definitely reviewed worse kids games and even worse racing games on this podcast. I thought it was like a fair, like, you know, my first racing game. But the thing is that if your kids have played other stuff,
spoiled by better games.
Right, and the thing is, they're gonna quickly lose interest in this, like mine did. I'd recommend checking it out for your kids. For $40, the amount that you get in there, I'd be more okay with a $30. But you know, Christmas is coming up. I don't think that this is a bad game. Just understand that your kids may not.
It's a good, nice, relaxing game when you feel like you need a relaxing game on the Xbox, and we don't have as many.
Right. Like, you know, I mean, yeah. So with Sam, like, this was a relaxing racing game versus, like, you know, Hot Wheels or something like that. So, I mean, at the same time, so I guess Sam's point with that is that this is a good alternative to those kind of racing games. So,
yeah, it's a good chill-out kind of racing game, though.
Yeah. If you're an achievement hunter, you know, the achievements are real easy to get. Yeah. So.
Which is what we all care about, the achievements.
At least I like that we were the first kids to play split screen on Hot Wheels.
Yep. Wow. True achievements confirms it. We were the first.
Good job.
You mean me and you, Silas?
Yes, sorry. Silas and Sam were the first to play split screen and get an achievement for it.
Woo! Oh, gee. All right. Well, I guess that wraps it up for this episode. Jacob, thanks for coming back with the kids and doing the review.
Guys, you realize like you're like yelling is picking up, being picked up on this, right? Guys, can we have one normal review ever?
No.
Nope.
No.
Yes.
Shout out to Timber Webb for coming on, chatting with us. Shout out to Carnage for coming on and chatting. Jacob, thanks to you for being here. Thanks to the kids for being here. Thanks to Aki for being here. Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Yeah, guys, do you have any final words you want to end the show with?
No.
No? Silas, you got any final words?
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, what's your final words that you want to end the show with?
Zodo game. He's so cute. That wild guy, that wild robot, and he can float.
What game are you talking about?
Lego Star Wars.
Okay.